Here's the moment. It is 3 in the morning, and your phone is ringing. Not a text, not a notification. The phone is ringing. You pick up, and it's him. And you can tell in the first 2 seconds that something has broken. He doesn't explain much. He says a name, or a number, or just the sound of a man who's holding himself together by a thread. And you say 2 words, "I'm coming." You don't ask what happened. You don't say tomorrow. You don't check the time. You say, "I'm coming," and you go. Danny had 2 men who do that for him. 2. He spent 22 years in the military, had hundreds of guys he could call a buddy, shared meals and jokes and long deployments with more men than he can count. But 2 men who'd pick up at 3 in the morning, no questions, just, "I'm coming." He says he'd hand back the other 98 for those 2 without blinking. Every man wants that, somewhere deep, even the ones who'd never say so out loud. And most men figure it's luck. You either got it or you didn't. But Danny didn't get it by accident. He built it. And this whole episode is about how. Let's be clear about what we're talking about, because the words get muddy. A blood brother is not just a close friend. It's not a guy you like a lot, or someone you've known since school, or a buddy you text a funny video. A blood brother is the man you'd walk into a hard situation for with no guarantee it goes well. He is the keeper of your worst story. The one where you were scared or wrong or broke down, and he carries it like it's sacred. He is the man you can be quiet with for 2 hours and leave feeling better. You don't have to perform for him. You don't have to be okay for him. He's seen you not okay, and he's still here. Now, you might have 5 men in your life right now you'd call a good friend. That's real, and it matters. But most men, if they are honest, have 0 or 1 or maybe 2 men who fit that deeper shape. The rest are good men at a distance. And that gap between a crew and a blood brother is what this last episode is about. Because a crew keeps you company. A blood brother keeps you standing. Before we talk about how, let's spend a minute on why. Because some men will sit with the idea of a blood brother and feel it, but write it off as something soft, optional, and nice to have. It is not optional. Researchers who study how men age have found something that sounds almost too simple to be true. The men who have 1 or 2 genuinely close friends, the kind who show up, no matter what, tend to live longer, stay healthier, and bounce back from hard seasons better than men who go through life with only a wide crew of surface-level company. Not because of what those friends do for them, but because of what the men can do. Carry an honest weight, say the hard thing, be known by someone who will not leave. The science on this has been building for decades. We are not built to perform all the time. A man who never takes the mask off, not even for 1 person, carries something quietly heavy all day, every day. It does not build him. It erodes him. This is not about being emotional. It is about being honest. And a blood brother is the 1 man in the world in front of whom a man can be fully honest and not lose anything. Now here is the pushback. And it is the honest one, so let's take it straight. Some of you are thinking, fine, I get it, but you can't build a bond like that on purpose. That kind of friendship just happens. You were in the same unit. You went through the same nightmare. You've known each other since you were kids. You can't decide to have a blood brother the way you decide to join a gym. And that is partly true and worth saying out loud. You cannot make a bond. You cannot force trust. You cannot sit down with a stranger on a Tuesday and declare yourselves brothers by Friday. No one is saying that. But here is what is also true, and what men miss because they are waiting for the crisis to do the work for them. The crisis is not the cause. The showing up is. the men in Danny's unit did not bond because of the deployment. They bonded because of the 10,000 small moments of showing up before the hard thing happened. The meal shared, the honest words said, the problem carried together, the silence kept. The crisis just proved what was already there. You can build what was there before the crisis. And the way you build it is the same whether you are 22 or 60. It just takes longer to admit you need to start. So how does it actually work? What are the moves? There are three things that forge a blood brother. And all three have one thing in common. They cost you something. They are not comfortable. That is the point. Cheap friendship stays shallow because nothing has been tested. The first thing is showing up when it is hard, not when it is easy. Not when you are free anyway, and it costs you nothing to stop by. When it costs you, the drive you didn't want to make, the sleep you gave up, the time you took from something else. Danny's friend Marcus drove 3 hours the night Danny's dad died, sat with him until 2 in the morning, then drove home. Marcus had work the next day. He didn't mention it. That drive cost something, and Danny has never forgotten it. The second thing is telling the truth he doesn't want to hear. Not to wound him, not to show off. Because you care more about the man than you care about keeping the peace. A real brother tells you when the plan is bad, when you are being wrong, when you are about to make a mistake that's going to cost you. That truth, delivered with care, not cruelty, is one of the rarest gifts one man can give another. Most people around you will let you walk into the fire rather than risk the awkward conversation. A blood brother doesn't. And the third thing is keeping what he gives you. His worst story, his fears, the thing he said out loud at 2 in the morning, those are not yours to share. You carry them like they are borrowed, because they are. The man who can be trusted with the weight of another man's private life, that man gets trusted with everything. Now here is the piece that men most often get wrong. Even men who understand the first three. A blood brother is not something you give and then stand back and wait for the other man to receive. It is not a one-way pour. Think about the jar from across this whole show. The thing that fills because everyone puts something in, that never runs dry because the giving goes around. That is how a bond between two men works when it works. Both men put something in. You show up for him, and you also let him show up for you. You carry his weight, and you also let him carry yours. Most men are better at the first half than the second. We were told, some of us were told directly, and some of us just soaked it up from the air, that the strong man is the one who carries, not the one who needs carrying. But that is a lie, and it quietly hollows out every friendship it touches. Because a man who will never let his friend do something for him is not being strong. He is robbing his friend of the chance to be a brother. Danny's friend Marcus didn't just show up that night and give. Danny has shown up for Marcus too, moved his family into a new place 3 times, sat with him through a hard patch at work, driven the miles in the other direction more than once. Both men fill the jar. That is why neither one runs dry. We started this whole show with the lone wolf, that strong, self-sufficient story that so many men get handed, and a lot of men carry for years before they look at what it actually costs them. So let's name it one final time right here at the end, because the blood brother is the sharpest answer to it. The lone wolf says, "I don't need anyone, I handle my own." The blood brother says, "I know myself well enough to know that I am better with him beside me, and I am not ashamed of that." Those are not the same kind of strength. One of them is armor. The other one is real. The lone wolf carries everything alone, and the weight compounds quietly, and the man who is proud of his self-reliance is, in the end, usually the man who broke the hardest and the most privately, with no one there to help him back up. the clan we've built across this whole show, the crew, the pack, the circle of men, is good and real and it matters. But somewhere at the center of it, for a man to be fully held, there has to be one. One man who'd come at 3 in the morning. One man who knows your worst story. One man who'd tell you the truth a crowd wouldn't. One man you fill the jar with and who fills it back. That is not weakness. That is the strongest thing. Let's bring it to you, because this only matters if you do something with it. 3 honest questions. First, do you have one man right now who'd pick up the phone at 3 in the morning and say, "I'm coming"? Not a man you think might. Not a man who probably would if things were really bad. One man you know, the kind of knowing you feel in your chest. If the answer is yes, good. Go to question 3. If the answer is no, that is not a verdict on you. It is information. It tells you where to put your attention, and it tells you now. Second, is there one man already in your life, your crew, your pack, a good man you know but haven't gone deeper with? Who could become that man if you started showing up differently? Not a new stranger, someone you already know. Look at your crew from the earlier episodes. Is there a man there you've been keeping at arm's length without quite meaning to? And the third question is the most important. When is the last time you let someone do something for you? When is the last time you said out loud, "I'm not okay," or "I need a hand," to a man who could help? Because the bond works both ways. And the man who only ever pours from the jar, who never lets anything back in, is, quietly, still the lone wolf. Just a polite one. So here is your one thing this week, and it is this: give something first. Pick the man who is closest to being your blood brother, or closest to being one if you don't have one yet. Then give something and let it cost you a little. Drive the distance you'd rather skip. Make the call you've been putting off for 2 months. Tell him the hard thing you've been keeping soft because the moment never felt right. Show up for something that's his, not yours. And somewhere in it, not forced, not scripted, say the plain words out loud. Something like, "I've got you," or, "You call me, I come." Not a big speech, not a ceremony, just the plain words said once to the right man. That is one brick in a wall that can hold a man up for the rest of his life. And here is the one thing that goes with it. Let one thing back in. Tell him one real thing about where you actually are. Not the version of you that's handling it fine. One honest word. Let him put something in the jar. Because you building this bond means both of you filling it. That is the whole thing. Give first. Let one thing back. That's the week. So here we are at the end of the whole show. And here is the one thing it was always saying. Needing your people is not the opposite of being a strong man. It is the heart of it. We started with the lone wolf. That story that feels strong but is just alone. We looked at why the clan matters, how to build one, how to give in a way that keeps the whole thing alive. And we ended here, at the deepest bond of all, the one that has to cost something to be real, the one that goes both ways, or it doesn't hold. From Ronin to clan to blood brother. The whole thing was one move, made again and again, step toward the man beside you instead of away. So make one move this week. Let one man in. Be one man in. The strongest thing a man can do is refuse to walk alone. Thank you for walking this with me. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you in the next show.